When the Yajnapatnis, when the wives of the Brahmanas, sacrificial Brahmanas, when they come to Krishna, they come to Krishna with sort of the same mood that the gopis came to Krishna. And Krishna tells them the same thing, Swagatam, he greets them, and then he tells them to go back home. The difference between the two is that the gopis don't go back home, but the wives of the Brahmins go back home. But before both of those things, one who don't go home and the other one who do, he says the exact same verse, except that the last line has a different word in it. And I don't remember the Sanskrit, but he says that you don't become purified by physical proximity to me, but by worshipping my deity, by chanting my glories, by hearing about me, you'll attain love for me. Same verse. Of course, you know Bhagavad Gita, then Krishna also says, those are there. I saw just recently another verse where Krishna's talking to Arjuna in this Agni Purana, which is also a verbatim statement from Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are other verses in the Bhagavatam that get repeated. And where were we?
Krishna knows what's good for you. Won't give you what you want, what you need.
Yeah. And that's what that's our conviction. We have that initial faith, and we defer to Krishna for that. Yes, he doesn't necessarily fulfill our desires in the way that we want. He doesn't. The world doesn't rotate in the way that we want it to rotate. Things won't happen the way we want to happen. Oh no, that wasn't right. Sakti deva prapanoyas. That was the verse. This is a verse that Lord Ramachandra tells Hanuman when Vibhishan came back, or Vibhishan came to surrender, and the actually the other monkeys, they said, don't trust him, he's a rakshasa, you can't trust him after all. But Hanuman said, no, when I was there in Ravana's court, he's the one who said that you shouldn't kill him. Not that Ravana could have killed Hanuman anyway, but he's the one who said, don't kill him, because he's a messenger, you can punish him, but you can't kill him. And then Lord Ramachandra says, no, Sakti Deva Prapanas. When someone surrenders to me and says, from this moment I'm yours, he says, I personally take care of him. It's a very beautiful verse. And it's also somewhere else. That's another verse. That's why I went off that verse. Krishna also says that verse somewhere else personally. So when we do that, when we come and we actually say to Krishna, now I'm yours, then Krishna says, okay. And now I'm yours has to mean now I'm yours, which means that, like Srila Prabhupada said, just make me dance, make me dance. There are many incidents in Srila Prabhupada's life where he didn't really understand what direction Krishna was taking him in. It wasn't what he had in plan. But if we're going to be puppets in the hands of a puppet master, then we have to be willing to, however he pulls the strings, then we go along with that. And but it requires that if we really mean, all right, now I give myself to you, then after that we don't object. We say however you want. For me, a real ideal example of that was, I think it's in the Nectar of Devotion, that is described by Draupadi, how she... right at the end of the war, she lost her sons. It's one thing to have lost them during the war, but she lost them at the end of the war when it was already all finished. So, but she never complained. She never came to Krishna and said, "Why did you let this happen?" She never complained to him. She just accepted it, and because ultimately Krishna could have stopped it, he could have stopped Ashwatthama from doing that. But not only that she didn't object, but she didn't question. She just accepted that's what Krishna wanted. And of course, that was a very difficult thing. One, not only because they were her only children, but but they were also the ones who were going to continue. In other words, the Pandava line ended there. It didn't there. If it wasn't for Prakshit Maharaj, who was actually the grandson, that would be the end of the dynasty. But she never complained. She just accepted. So, Prahlad Maharaj, of course, was also an example like that. That we always read about all the different tribulations that he was put into by Lord Nrisimhadev. But he never questioned him, why did you do this? Why did you make a puppet out of me just to show how to depend on Krishna? So devotees are willing to do that, and especially we see that great devotees, Krishna often actually puts them in certain situations to teach others. In fact, he puts all devotees to teach others because all devotees learn from others. We, even amongst ourselves, we learn from each other. We see how devotees react, how devotees are. Because generally, when we're put into positions of difficulty, the best comes out. Even out of conditioned souls. Vipada shantita shasvat tatra tatra jagat guru. So when we're in difficult situations, then we tend to go towards Krishna. And who was that friend who was saying the other day? Sometimes we ask, why me? Not sometimes, we ask everyone, it isn't it? It's not in Vaishnava circles, it's across the board, among theists or atheists, people tend to ask, why me? And of course, why me? Because it's my karma. That's why it's me, because it's not anyone else's karma, because it happens to be yours. So you have to accept that it's you, and it's your karma. Or if we've, surrendered our karma to Krishna, then it's Krishna directly pulling the strings, so that we learn something, we go through some experience, somehow or another, we burn off that residual karma, in order that we actually become qualified to enter into Krishna's pastimes. And I'll disclose, we had, when we were in our, Govinda Maharaj and I in our house, although actually now I'm no longer a resident of that house, the house in Vrindavan, and our next door neighbor was Archa Vigraha from South Africa. She's an artist. She had a Krishna picture, Srila Prabhupada. And she had cancer, and she came to, she lived there, and she was also taking some chemotherapy at Apollo Hospital for a little while, but then she gave up on that. And then she lived there, and then she left her body, and because she was right next door, so I used to go over and visit and something, read to her. And then there was a certain stage, that was, I guess, some months before she left, and she was in pain. So we were talking, and she was telling me that she used to pray to Krishna that the pain was so intense that she could just leave. And then she said, then I realized that it's no use. She says, I'm not going to leave any sooner than I'm supposed to, and I'm not going to stay any longer than I'm supposed to. And whatever I need to get purified from, I'm going to have to accept that. And she said when she accepted that, then she became much more peaceful in herself, and she was able to actually digest whatever came, both the discomfort and the embarrassment of the situation, the pain, and just the waiting. That we have a certain amount of karma, we call it Krishna karma, but something that Krishna wants us to burn off and learn from all the times and moments that lead up to that. And especially if we actually really want the privilege of being able to go back to Krishna, we have to be willing to accept that. And it's different for everyone. For some people, we're just talking really about Chochana. For some people, it's very fast. We had a similar experience, which was actually just four years ago when I was here. That's Krishnamani 4 years ago was Sanatana Kazanikaya. Harmony. Harmony. Maybe it was 4 years ago, because we were here at the same time. And she, that was also very fast. She just, stomach pains, went to the doctor. Doctors looked, they opened her up. They said, sorry, we can't help you anymore. And then she just decided to come to, she was a mother devotee, came to Nivajadam, 2 weeks, left the body. So sometimes it's very fast. Srila Prabhupada, when we were in 1977 in Mayapur, that's when he got sick. Mm-hmm. Right when, during, we were at the festival. Mm-hmm. Just at the festival.
Yeah.
He gave one lecture, he gave a welcome lecture, and he gave another lecture after that, I think. And afterwards, the news just came, Prabhupada is too sick, and it was after that, it was devotees were giving class. And from there on in, it was like from March until October, November. Srila Prabhupada, October, November?
November.
So it wasn't quick. It was the best part of a month, 7-8 months. Srila Prabhupada went through that ordeal. He actually did it so that we could all see, wanted us to all go there and see it, so that he told us, don't think this won't happen to you. Although, somehow or another, we're not necessarily convinced that it won't happen to us. Or at least Yudhisthira Maharaj says, and we preach it all the time, ahani, ahani, dhikani, that materialistic people think like this. But it's not just... It's just the natural conduct, the natural psychology is that you're not living as if there's no tomorrow, you're living as if it's going to go on forever. We don't necessarily live with that type of consciousness. And in one sense it's natural, and as long as the foundational knowledge of the temporary nature of the body is there, it's all right. But Prabhupada wanted us to know that it will happen to you, and you should be well aware of that. We should prepare for that. And the best way to prepare is by just focusing on the very basics of Krishna consciousness that Krishna gave in 700 verses, that's there in 18,000 shlokas and Srimad Bhagavatam. And even that's already a lot. Even 700 is a lot for some people, but 18,000 is really a lot to really absorb with that type of pure faith. And when we do, then it actually qualifies us for the type of pure devotion by which one can chant purely, by which one can actually attain Krishna's lotus feet, which is the real destination of all Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. That's what Prabhupada ki jai.